Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for today's camp notes for the Baltimore Ravens on 8-6-24. A few things going on today. Kind of interesting. Cleek Blakeman, the NFL official, referee, was in to talk to the media about the new kickoff rule, and he ended up staying and officiating practice, which was extra cool. So they had us in the auditorium. They were able to ask questions and whatnot. And there are a few things that came out. Talked about the new kickoff rule and how the NFL is really depending on the announcers to explain it to the fans. They don't really want the officials to be getting on the microphone every kickoff return and explaining why the ball is being spotted at a certain place. And one of the things about the new rule that's odd, there's lots of things odd about it, frankly, are there three outcomes in addition to a plain old return that can occur. The first is the ball's put at the 20-yard line. If it lands in the landing zone, which is between the 0 and 20, bounces into the end zone, and is then not returned, then the ball is brought out to the 20-yard line. The offense starts there. That'll be one of the outcomes that kicking teams will probably be attempting to get, maybe even more so than pooching. They'll be looking to stick the other team at their own 20 as frequently as possible by skipping the ball into the end zone. If the ball is kicked through the end zone or caught on the fly in the end zone, the ball is brought out to the 30. So the kicking team is penalized for not getting that ball in the zone, but not as much as they're penalized for coming up short. So if the ball is kicked out of bounds or short of the landing zone or touched before reaching the landing zone, which is another possibility because you have players back there, ball's on a line drive, you're trying to skip it, somebody touches it before it gets to the landing zone, the ball is dead at that immediately. So there's no additional play. And I think that's a concession to injury. And the ball will be placed at the 40-yard line. So I think there'll be lots of confusion over this rule. I don't believe we'll understand it completely, even by the time the regular season begins. If you were there today, you would have seen a lot of very difficult questions asked, which even Blakeman, who's a longtime NFL official, was not able to answer every single one of them. So great to be able to have him. Great to be able to have him for practice. But honestly, the rule is extremely confusing. And it's something that I think the officials will have to ramp up for as well. And hopefully there'll be someone on site who's an expert in that rule, perhaps in the replay area, who'll be able to assist with that call a little better in the spotting of the ball. Talked about other points of emphasis as well. One of them being the hip drop tackle. They had a video on that narrated by Troy Vincent talking about wanting to remove the hip drop tackle and how there was a 20 to 25 times as likely to have a significant injury accruing from it. That went on. If you saw it, it made you angry because it did not include the Mark Andrews hip drop tackle, and it did include two others that involved the Ravens, including one by Jadeveon Clowney that I'd kind of forgotten about. It didn't really look that bad to me, but Blakeman was asked directly, was the Mark Andrews tackle a hip drop tackle? He said, yeah, he thought so. One thing, there are three things they have to see for the hip drop tackle to occur. The tackle has to occur from behind. There has to be a twisting action, and there has to be falling on the legs. If all three are present, then it's a hip drop tackle. That's the way I understand it anyway. One question I asked that he wasn't sure of the answer is if the officials could confer as with intentional grounding and combine elements. So if one guy saw two of the elements, I saw it was from behind, I saw it twisting, did you see him fall on his legs kind of thing? Then, you know, maybe they'd be able to call it that way. He thought yes on that, that they would be allowed to do that. He was also asked the question, could the thing be challenged? Because it could not be initiated by the replay area. It had to be initiated on field. But he thought, yes, perhaps it could be challenged if the evidence was clear from the video that they didn't land on the legs, say. And so that was an interesting one. And he ended up going back and forth a little bit on that and then saying, I have to get back to you on that one specifically. So, you know, again, these are new rules. Blakeman is a personal injury lawyer out in Omaha. And very smart guy, clearly very in shape guy also for what is his apparent age. I guess he's in his mid-50s now. But anyway, he's a guy who speaks very well. You know, this isn't his full-time occupation. And it's a little bit of a we're still early in the process for him to fully know the rules, I think how I would describe it. One other thing's happening this year, taunting, also a point of emphasis, by the way. Another thing that's happening this year was a third challenge will be awarded if the coach wins either of the first two instead of requiring the coach to win both of their first two challenges. So if you recall in past years, there is a very high premium on getting the first challenge correct so you didn't immediately drop yourself down to one challenge. Well, that's no longer the case. If you get the first one wrong, you have to get the second run right in order to get a third challenge. But it's going to be much, much more rare that teams run out of challenges within the 58 minutes that they have to challenge plays under the current format. So anyway, that's something that is an interesting change, and I was not aware of prior to that, or I don't remember being aware of it anyway. Pads were on again today for practice. It ended maybe a few minutes early. At least I thought it was ending a few minutes early. And then they had a kind of a fun little drill they did at the end that I'll be telling you about. Very hot again, a field of 11 by 11, one field only. And we had some new absences. We had a couple returns. So let me go through those. The absences, Keaton Mitchell, TJ Tampa, both remain on PUP. Trayvon Mullen still has that shoulder injury. Tyler Linderbaum missed his fourth straight day. Arthur Mollett, a new injury. John Harbaugh said he has a knee injury. He does not believe it is season ending, and they still had to learn more about it. That's concerning, but it's nice that the Ravens have the depth in terms of Ardarius Washington, who could probably be very easily moved back to slot corner, or perhaps Marlon Humphrey if they want to put Wiggins in on the outside on some plays. So the Ravens have options to get by this, but it's never good to lose a cornerback. You need a lot of them as you go through the season, and they do seem to accumulate injuries. Adafi Owe missed the practice with a sprained ankle. I don't know if this will affect him for Friday night. Harbaugh did not seem to think it was particularly serious. At least he didn't use language to indicate that. Deadron Sanat missed practice. Quincy Roche missed practice. There is some question as to whether he might have been cut to make room for a new acquisition I'm going to tell you about. But they didn't have to. They had enough roster spots that they didn't need to make a cut. So not sure what's with Quincy Roche, whether it might be injury or he's no longer with the team. And then Rashad Bateman, I think some of the best news of the day was Harbaugh does not believe the Bateman injury is serious. And he didn't have really more to say about it than that. But the implication is he won't be gone for a long time. So it's not like Arthur Mollett, where he uses the much more serious language of not season ending. That's a he will miss time language. Whereas in the Bateman case, I think that language indicates he thinks he'll at least be back by the opener. I don't know whether it means he's going to miss this game against the Eagles or, you know, not playing the preseason anyway, or whatever it might mean, but it seems to me like that's much better language that he's using for Bateman. Okay, now the returns. First of all, Deonte Hardy returned to practice and was returning kicks, which was in the initial drill, as this kickoff drill they were doing. But then he was seen leaving the field early, so did not complete practice. I did not notice him anywhere in the 11-on-11s. He's not in my notes anywhere in the 11-on-11s. So I believe he must have left practice or was told not to participate in that, or he would not participate in that. The other guy who returned, and he returned from NFI all the way to being available for practice today, was Adisa Isaac. So all he did today was position drills. He also did a little bit of 7-on-7 faux pass rushing and dropping, but nothing that's a high energy exerting or 11-on-11 drill. But the drill he participated was like 6 or 7 on colors. So it's essentially a defensive drill where the players learn their responsibilities for zone coverage. So they drop to a certain point, a bunch of equipment people and a couple girls, I think, were involved in it, are running routes by a prescribed set of responsibilities. And the defensive players have to understand what their responsibilities are in zone on those plays. So there's no throws. And all it is trying to make sure that the dance steps are understood by the defenders in terms of where they have to go to defend certain combinations of routes. So anyway, that was all Isaac participated in terms of more of a team drill. He did do some positional drills. He did the long trampoline shadow boxing that I may as well jump into right now. They have a short, it's a rectangular trampoline, and you either go the long way and do 4 combinations, left, left, right, 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 left, left, right, 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 left, with cones, where your left hooks and right hooks are a combination that gets you around a cone with a certain pass rush move. And then you come out from under the trampoline, you hit a dummy. So it's stay low, be physical with your hands, and move around these cones as you need to, and eventually come out with a big hit. And I've mentioned this drill before. It's one that you can kind of see a boxing background. So Malik Ham, it was fairly obvious that he might have done a little boxing in his life from the way he throws punches. Whereas Michael Pierce, it doesn't look like the guy's ever been in a fight. And I'm sure that's not true, but he's a very, very good spirited guy, but it just doesn't look like a boxer in any way, shape, or form the way he throws punches. But anyway, that's a fun drill anyway to watch. The taller guys have a little bit of trouble. So Brent Urban, Tavius Robinson, players like that have a little bit of trouble getting low enough and staying low enough under that trampoline. The defensive tackles and nose tackles then did a drill to hold their spot versus 2 blockers. So a matter of footwork and pad level. And they're going against 2 other defensive linemen. There's some brother-in-law action to what they're doing. But the main concern for the defensive coaches who are watching it, the defensive line coach in particular, is that their footwork is good and their pad level is right, such that they have a chance to hold their ground against 2 men. And obviously, if you're an interior defensive lineman, you face a lot of double teams, combination blocks to have one guy sprung to get to level 2. And you want to make sure he does not get sprung in that manner. So, what you do in terms of footwork and pad level is going to make that determination. The defensive backs did some donut tackling. That was directly in front of me. It involves rolling a large donut and tackling the front side of that ring. And so a couple things are about it. One is you really have to tackle the front side of the ring. You have to wrap up on it, and then you drive through and leave your feet after contact, but not before. So they really want you to lean in, wrap up, then leave your feet to drive your opponent donut backwards. And it's an interesting drill to watch. The guys who are not good tacklers and really like to tackle with their shoulders directly and hit the thing, they would not look good on this if they continued tackling this way. On the other hand, I'm not sure it really teaches great tackling form, because Patrick Queen and some of the other players who have not been good tacklers over the years, Ravens, were guys who didn't mind at all tackling a donut. They just hated tackling people. So I'm not sure what it really tells you about or how it really helps tackling form, but obviously they use it. So it's part of their set of drills that they do. One sec, please. All right, let's come back and talk about the run drills. So we saw a few things on here, some good offensive plays, some good defensive plays. Justin Madubuike penetrated to take down Derrick Henry for a loss. Justice Hill had a short breakaway before he was tackled by Trenton Simpson, who came up to get him. We saw Owen Wright burst through on a run left. Fair number of runs to daylight today. I would say the run drills have definitely been highly favoring the defense so far, but what I saw today was some good daylight runs. Rasheen Ali slipped on a run right. I've got to say I've probably seen more as a runner from Owen Wright than Rasheen Ali in this camp so far. I don't think that is going to make Ali not make the team because of his draft status and whatnot. But Owen Wright's looked pretty darn good as a runner, and I think he's a guy that figures in the Ravens' plans as a potential elevation from the practice squad. Chris Collier broke away on a play up the middle, very well blocked play, pretty big hole I thought, and Collier slipped through a small hole or two so far this camp, but this is a fairly good sized hole, and he was off to the races and looked good in terms of his burst there. And then I saw Tramell Walther penetrated and took down Ali for another loss, which was a shame. So not a great set of runs there, obviously, for Ali. Going to go to the 11-on-11 notes, and I have a lot for you today. And we'll kind of go through this auctioneer style, but I'll just tell you this. Practice was the most competitive. In fact, the defense has won every practice that I'm aware of to date. And I might have missed one on the scoreboard somewhere, somehow. The offense might have slipped out a small win. But I believe the defense has won every one, and they've won most of them pretty definitively by 5, 10, 15, even 20 points. And this one, the defense actually had to come from behind to forge a tie. And without spoiling it for you, I'll tell you how it ended when we get to the very end of this. Okay, so let's talk through some of the things that were happening. Ben Cleveland was at center again for much of practice with Linderbaum out. Roger Rosengarten saw more snaps at right tackle, which is a little bit encouraging. Want to see him more on the field. Obviously, he's going to get some time against the Eagles. I think Patrick McCary is too important to the team to play any substantive amount against the Eagles. So I assume he will get starter treatment. And I assume what we're seeing from Rosengarten is not necessarily a changing the guard at who the starter is at right tackle for this year for week one necessarily, but just gearing him up to get preseason snaps at this point. So that'll be something we'll really be looking for come Friday night. Lamar executed a play action throw off a fake to Henry and completed a 10-yard pass by the right sideline to Andrews. I couldn't help but see this and say, is that the shape of things to come? Because it looked like a great play action fake to Andrews wide open to Andrews. A lot of ways that's what the Ravens acquired Derrick Henry for, was for that the guy who will create play action opportunities. Now, this ball was all the way to the right sideline. But Andrews was fairly far open. I'd even like to see more plays where Andrews is open between level 2 and 3 in the middle of the field to really get a sense of how much he's impacting read steps from those linebackers and causing them to overreact to the possibility of either he or Lamar running. That's a much bigger issue when the defense has to respect the possibility of the mesh coming. So far, Ravens haven't really executed mesh plays in practice that I've really noticed. And I don't think I'm giving anything out, because Monk hadn't even mentioned in an interview that they really hadn't had a chance to see Henry in the mesh. So we'll no doubt we will get a chance to see that maybe once. So not no doubt, maybe once this preseason. I think Henry's going to run the ball maybe 5 times the whole preseason. If I had to put an over or under on it, maybe less even. I don't think Lamar is going to play more than about a quarter the whole preseason. So we probably will see Henry just run a very few plays. And I would expect just a mesh point just to see that what they have against an opponent who's actually trying to stop them from doing it. So that'll be something to look for. Moving on, Stevens tackled Flowers quickly on a wide receiver screen left. Stevens had a nice day, a couple plays. Also was beaten in coverage a couple times, but I'd say he's overall had a net in the positive column. Van Noy pressured Lamar into an incomplete 20 yards, between the numbers and the right hash over Aguilar. So we have not seen too much from Van Noy. He's been really an under control player in this camp, but good pressure there. Pepe came off the edge to tackle Owen Wright for no gain. Again, Pepe is a guy we haven't had too much to say about this camp. Sala was pancaked as a pass blocker, and I did not see by who, which is unfortunate, but he was, you know, sprawling back on the ground Johnson threw a 15-yard pass by the left sideline to Scotty Washington. Christian Matthew registered a PD in coverage of Cunningham. It was a dislodgement pass defense. Christian Matthew looks to be a pretty physical corner, so I wonder, he's pretty big. It might be a guy the Ravens keep on the practice squad. Kind of looks like he's at the end of the depth chart from my perspective at corner, but he might be ahead of some other names towards the bottom, Bump Cooper and Kadar Holman. I'm not really sure exactly where those guys fit in. Kadar Holman at one point had a great pedigree, but he's older now, and so he might not be the guy that they would stick with. Christian Matthew and Bump Cooper, both are guys that the Ravens would have several years of team control if it worked out. So not sure which direction the Ravens would go there, but Christian Matthew definitely looks like a fairly physical corner from how he's kind of beaten up Tez Walker so far in camp as well. Derrick Henry broke off a run off the right edge for a big gain prior to first contact. Very nice to see. He followed that up later in this same 11-on-11 set of drills with a run left to daylight on a play that was spotted for a gain of approximately 25. And that was a whole series of 11-on-11 later, meaning they did other drills in between. They did 7-on-7 in between. Really nice to see Henry having a couple of nice runs off the edge. Patrick Ricard commented on how leggy he was as a player. Obviously, he's a very thick guy, and we probably think of him as being kind of a bottom-heavy, thigh-y guy in terms of his years at Tennessee just because he's such a powerful runner, but he's really more of a leggy guy, almost a little more like O.J. Simpson was as a runner, not a big thigh guy, more of a twiggy is not the right word, but more of a thinner legs for a running back that you might see, and still has that very good speed that he put on display today. So that was nice to see, of course. Andrews caught a contested throw from Lamar 10 yards between the hashes with coverage from Stevens. Broderick Washington had a pressure, but Lamar threw complete for about 15 yards between the numbers and the left hash to Flowers.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab. Also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Covered by Humphrey. Hamilton diagnosed and nearly intercepted a screen left. Think back to the Browns game last year and that beautiful play he had where he baited Ravens as a team, basically baited Watson into throwing that screen left to Njoku. I guess I call it a swing pass left to Njoku, almost left him uncovered on that play. Also, Hamilton could break into the path of the throw, tip it to himself, and run in for one of the easiest pick sixes you'll ever see. That almost happened here. He got his hand on the football. He couldn't hold on to it, but so it was a PD, but not an interception. Kadir Ishmael made a leaping contested catch 10 yards by the left sideline. Brandon Stevens was in coverage on that play. Wouldn't say his coverage was bad. I just think Kadir, pretty good body control. Some box out skills are there, and he was able to hold on to the football. Nate Wiggins was flagged for defensive holding on a ball that was overthrown 15 yards and out of bounds on the right sideline for Scotty Washington from Johnson. Wiggins has had a little bit of difficulty, I would say, and in particular, seems like he's had some problems with penalties in the last few practices. Emory Jones threw a 5-yard pass by the right sideline to Chris Collier, who took it the rest of the way for a touchdown. So Chris Collier so far having a big day with a nice run breakaway and a breakaway after the catch for a TD on a pass to the right sideline. Josh Ross in some additional run, this wasn't actually a run drill, it's just playing 11-on-11, had another good fill on a run middle by Henry. And then Henry had that run to daylight that I told you about earlier. Lamar was forced to scramble left on the next play, and Ajabo chased him out of bounds. Lamar had ample time and space. He tried to hit Likely, who was well bracketed by Ardarius Washington and Eddie Jackson, 35 yards down the left sideline, but the pass was well in front of the receiver. And actually, it's probably a good thing it was, because it very well might have been intercepted. The bracket coverage was very good on the play. And then on the very next play, Ardarius Washington had an acrobatic pick where he undercut. I did not even see the receiver because it looked like this was like a interaction in a dead spot in his zones. So there was a lot of room between Jackson and the receiver where Washington cut into that lane and secured the interception, hit the ground, got up, and started to run back. Ardarius Washington now has had picks the last 2 days. He's looked terrific in some other ways, including a sack yesterday, that have really, I think, improved his stock. And this is coming at a time when Arthur Maulet is injured and the Ravens need a slot cornerback. So I think the natural assumption, if Maulet cannot start the season healthy, would be that Ardarius Washington would be the guy who'd move back into that slot corner role on obvious passing downs when they would typically not want to have Kyle Hamilton at nickel. They would want Kyle Hamilton on the back end. So, I think good chance that now Ardarius Washington, with the hard work he's done at a couple of different positions this summer, is probably going to find significant playing time. Once he gets it, you don't know if he's ever going to give it up either. It's a case where Arthur Maulet could get Wally pipped. It wasn't like Maulet was a bad player last year, but Washington really won the job coming out of camp, and then he got hurt. And this year it looks like he's going to get a chance against some really legitimate live fire, and he probably he may well win the job this year. And if he does, I think it's going to be a little bit difficult for Maulet to unseat him when he returns. All right, so Daryl Worley made a quick tackle of Cunningham on a little pass out to the left sideline. It was right about at the line of scrimmage, and Worley made a quick tackle there. Trenton Simpson had a tackle for loss on a run by Ali that he got in the backfield. I wouldn't really say he penetrated. It's more like he tracked it to the edge, and Ali was out of cutback room and got taken down. Tremel Walther dragged down Ali from behind on about a 5-yard run middle. Looked like there was a flag, I think, for illegal formation, because I can't figure out what it would have been that the play would have gone off. So they didn't call it as a false start. I didn't see any official signaling, and they oftentimes don't. Sometimes they do. If it's a hold, they usually call it. If it's a false start, they don't always. The way you know who the false start is on is because of who's running a lap. And there are a couple of those that didn't get laps today. So I think that the offense was really focused on keeping the same offensive line and keeping the rate of play fast. So they didn't want to deal with the lapse in this particular practice. But otherwise, they're pretty good about indicating the penalty. But you don't get distinctions between, say, defensive pass interference and defensive holding, other than what I can guess from where the flag is thrown. So if the flag is thrown 20 yards away from where the catch is, and it's on a crossing route, it's probably a defensive holding. If the flag is thrown white by where the reception occurs, it's probably defensive pass interference. And they do have a walk-off that they take probably 60% of the time, 40 to 60% of the time, somewhere in that mid-range. But they definitely don't mark off the yardage on the offense every single time, just because the desire not to move the group of people who are standing behind the play, I would assume, and the desire to keep the practice moving and get as many plays as they can done. All right, then we move on to the play of the day. Sean Ryan turned it in, and he made a sideline catch. There was bracket coverage from Kadar Holman and Bo Braid. And Harbaugh commented on the play afterwards and said he thought the coverage was good. And I'd agree. I mean, they were both right there. But he went up. It's about 20 yards on that right sideline. Caught the ball. Obviously, it was not really contested as much as it might have been at the catch point, because Ryan is very tall and these other guys are not exceptionally tall. And he went up for caught the ball, came down, evaded the tacklers at the spot, and then stayed up and in bounds as he ran down the sideline for a touchdown. A very impressive play from Ryan. He's already one of the young wide receivers that I think the Ravens really like. They did sign, by the way, and I should have mentioned this earlier because it's in my notes for them. They just did sign Justin Gage, who's a guy who's been around the NFC South for a while and has a lot. Russell Gage, who has 244 receptions in a five-year career between 2018 and 22. Did not play in 23. I assume there's an injury involved, but I did not look it up to find out what he's coming back from. And then in 24 now, he's signing with the Ravens with a fairly big history of absolute number of catches. And he's got a reasonably high percentage of his catches have gone for first downs. But he does not have a good yards per target. His career yards per target is only 7.0. So that's not obviously exactly what you'd want. And, I'm sure he has a chance to make the team. I have not seen anything about contract details for him, but it's the kind of situation where I hope a guy you'd be signing at this point in camp would really need to earn his job, as opposed to being a guy that you wanted to give $2.5 million, another $2.5 million in potential incentives to. I think Russell Gage is probably at this point in his career, coming out off a year where he was hurt, is probably a vet min guy. And honestly, he's the kind of quote unquote big name receiver that I'd always be concerned about Ravens fans really wanting, despite the fact his career doesn't have a lot of particularly high value to it at the 7.0 yards per target that he's put in. So fair amount of time with Atlanta, and 1 year with Tampa, all in the NFC South. See where it was down here. Okay, so Simpson then came back. He had another hard tackle on Justice Hill on a short pass to the left sideline. I don't know why Simpson is allowed to tackle and no one else seems to be allowed to in this practice, but or in practices in general here, but apparently don't want to get in his head and ruin this very high level of aggression he has. And he's a very physical player in these admittedly padded, but still take it easy on your own teammates practices. Jackson completed a comeback route to Flowers. He was covered by Wiggins 10 yards by the right sideline. Good play there. Simpson was flagged for defensive pass interference in coverage of likely to extend a Jackson drive on the next play. Then Brandon Washington came in and pressured Lamar by bull rush of Voorhees. Now, this is one of the first two play sequences I've seen from Voorhees that was not good, because on the very next play, Voorhees was flagged for offensive holding as Lamar was forced to throw the ball away out of bounds on the right sideline. So a couple plays in a row that Voorhees didn't get the job done at left guard in this case. So the drive ended with Lamar being forced to dump the ball off to Aguilar, incomplete with coverage from JAD by the left sideline. It was a zero-yard throw. There's no way it was going to have the yardage for the first down. JAD was bearing down on him, but the ball was also incomplete. So the defense really won that series of plays with Lamar at quarterback. And by this time, the practice is getting close here. The defense is trailing for one of the first times. I mean, I'm not even sure they've trailed at this point. No, that's not true. The offense led 12 to nothing the other day before the defense turned it on. But they have not trailed off on this entire camp. And yet they're down by a few points here. And as Johnson takes over, and things start to go wrong for the offense. First of all, they had consecutive false starts to start Johnson's series. Then Johnson threw a pass for Kirkwood that was incomplete with coverage by Holman, but there's also pressure and a near sack by Ajabo on the play. Can't give you the points for any of these individual plays, but it was good to see the defense putting pressure and also being able to force the incomplete in the secondary. Then he threw incomplete for Riley Sharp. It was about 10 yards between the numbers and the right hash. The ball was kind of low because there was coverage that was higher. Had to throw the ball low, couldn't dig it out. The Ravens offense gives up the ball, and Lamar comes back on for the following series. Again, the offense still has a small lead. And first plays from scrimmage is a false start by Lamar. Then he overthrew Likely about 15 yards down the seam, right between the hashes, with Worley trailing. And then on the next ball, he threw a pass for Wallace, and the ball was tipped and intercepted by Harrison as the defense took the lead in the practice. So Lamar then threw two straight completions to get the score tied again, and the second one was actually a touchdown. So he's still allowed to continue on as if the series hadn't ended. And then Harbaugh stepped in and said they would have one more play to decide who would win practice. So game was tied. Practice was tied at 54-54, which is as exciting as it gets in terms of the scoreboard watching for practice. And he said they'd have one play and have full tackling. And the offense had Emory Jones up at quarterback. He threw complete to Kadir Ishmael. But he was taken down short of the sticks by Sanusi Kane, and the defense just went wild at that point, cheering for Kane and the win for the defense that they got again for the day. Again, I believe them to be perfect. Jonas apparently is better at seeing the final score from Saturday, I think it was, when the Ravens were up 12-0 early on offense. And I saw that some of that lead erode away, but I didn't realize the defense had come back to win that practice. Jonas thinks they did, and I trust him that he's correct on that. Did have a couple false starts during this practice. Some of them did not result in laps, so I'm not going to bother with that. I want to tell you about what happened after practice, though, because this is pretty funny. So practice is effectively over. They did another an installation series where they're going at half or a quarter speed on defense. They're just giving the offense an opportunity to install some plays and learn the footsteps for some new plays, learn the damn steps. And then they did a fumble recovery drill, and it was a special one where they bought out two high-pressure hoses, one given to a player on either side, and they went spraying some poor fool player who went between them trying to recover a football that was rolled on the ground away from them. And it became pretty clear. We had different people, using the hoses, but then Ronnie Stanley kind of got hold of the hose on the left side from where I was watching this. And I could describe his behavior only as sadistic in terms of his desire to get each player directly in the face with this high pressure water stream. Very distracting. And I'm sure it's a nice way to get cool after practice and kind of get away from some of the us versus them of the offense and defense that had occurred, in terms of the scoreboard watching. And, they were clearly absolutely loving it, but I'll just say the guys with the hoses, they were really enjoying the fact that they're just, like, almost playing a carnival game with the heads of the player who's going after the ball. And it was one at a time on this. Justin Tucker had a chance at the hose. Some other people had a chance at the hose, but basically Ronnie Stanley was the hose master. at this thing in terms of having one side of it, and certainly is pretty consistent in his targeting. All right, so we move on to interviews. Couple things. Harbaugh talked about the need to ramp up Adisa Isaac. I take that to mean he probably will not play against the Eagles. I do expect over the course of the next week or so, he'll be moving up in terms of what he does in practice, hopefully playing in the second preseason game. I think the second preseason game is the Packers, if I recall correctly, and they have a joint practice before then. So if I were Adisa Isaac, I'd really want to be ready for that joint practice to really show some things off and then to play in that game against the Packers that comes after that. Of course, the joint practice is in Green Bay this year, so is the game, obviously, which means it's not the big event at home that it could be. So unfortunately, I won't be there for that. You mentioned that there are some players who won't play versus the Eagles, but they haven't decided on who. He says that every year. If some player is not going to play, almost certainly means Lamar Jackson is not going to play. So I think that Lamar probably will not. If we see some offensive linemen, it may be for a very short period of time with Josh Johnson at quarterback. So we might see the starting offensive line for that period. There's some guys who are still fighting for starting jobs along the offensive line. Rosengarten comes to mind. McCary is more solid in his position. Whether he's the starter or a backup, I don't think that they need to see McCary. Rosengarten and Fa'alele and Cleveland are guys who need to get playing time in. And Voorhees is a guy who I expect that they want to see play some to get an evaluation on some other technique elements that they can't get really out of a lot of the 11-on-11, even the run drills. So they're probably going to want to play him some, even though I think he's essentially salted away or all but salted away his starting position on the offensive line. So we'll see. Voorhees didn't have a great day today with a couple of miscues that I mentioned. Harbaugh also said that the Bateman injury was not serious. And I'm putting quotes around that. It's better language, obviously, than what he used for the mullet injury. Patrick Ricard was next up at the podium. He talked about the situational nature of snaps. So he was asked about, you know, getting enough snaps by one of the reporters, and you can listen to it. The interviews are out there. But he said, you know, my snaps are situational in nature. If the Ravens are winning, that he should be playing more to help salt away games. And if they're losing, they're going to be passing more and they're going to want less in the way of heavy sets and using him. So very good understanding of exactly why and when the Ravens would want to use Patrick Ricard. And that was good to hear. He was asked about the development of Kadir Ishmael, and he went through it. And some things I wasn't completely aware of with Kadir, but he was a quarterback at Villanova. He went, of course, came to the Ravens as a wide receiver. He just got moved last week onto the sheet as a tight end for the Ravens. But if you look at him, he looks like Darren Waller. He's a tall, thin drink of water. He can really block, and he not afraid to get physical. He was shaken up a little bit at one point in this practice, went to the ground. Trainers looked at him, and then he kind of sprinted away from them and back into the practice as it continued. So kind of a tough guy too, and you like to see that. Charlie Kolar got to the podium. Now, Charlie is I think he probably would have been a class clown in whatever class he was in, but he tells about one joke per question that he's responding to. So somebody asked him, how did your blocking develop from college to you? He goes, well, I didn't block at all in college. So he's starting from there. So, you know, you always start off with something that's not getting you to the answer that you're really trying to get at. Kyle Barber asked him about his new workout routine in the offseason or what was new. And he said, I switched from Bud Heavy to Bud Light. So, yeah, it's hard to get serious about it. But I did ask him about the kickoff return and his responsibilities there. And he thought he was looking forward to it. He liked the notion of when you're a blocker on kickoff returns, you don't want to run backwards for 20 yards and then make a block. You're much better off staring your guy in the face from 10 yards away, which is where they'll be in relative terms, and then picking him up. And I think the Ravens, he thought that there would be a lot of returns that were between 20 and 30 yards, or return between the 20 and 30 yard line. And then a few returns that went a long way. And he said, you know, the reason is that you've got a relatively thin and linear defensive line you're working against. They cannot move, so you don't have the same kind of squeezing of lanes. And I'm you know, interpreting some of his response to be this. And so you don't have the same all-field coverage that you might have otherwise with a long kickoff that a group of 10 coverage guys plus the kicker can then all of a sudden squeeze that area of the field down as they maintain good lane integrity and run towards the return man. That doesn't exist anymore. You've got 10 guys in a line across the field, and you know, it's much easier to pierce that and have somebody get a long return. So he thought there would be more long returns. It was going to be more exciting for that reason. That is going to do it for camp notes today. So really good long day at camp with the kind of the Blakeman Auditorium session and the interviews at the end and a long hot practice and whatnot. But a very fun day, I thought, and good productivity out of what was happening on the field. A nice close practice made it exciting. But that'll be it for today. Folks out there, if you're listening to this, I ask you, as always, please use word of mouth if you can. Tell someone else about this. Like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. And if you're so inclined, please write us a 5-star review. That helps a lot in terms of driving traffic to this site. We'll talk to you later on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.